Sadly, I'm willing to bet for many folk, especially for those kiosks, is I'm going to guess it's a sneakernet deployment.
Welcome back to Continuous Delivery Office Hours, where we delve into the topic of modern software delivery. I am your host, Tony Kelly, and I'm joined by our regulars, Mr. Bob Walker and Mr. Steve Fenton. And the topic for this week is multi-tenancy. And I know through my own journey of joining Octopus, multi-tenancy has many different flavors. So I think for the audience and our listeners, I think the best place to start is by trying to define multi-tenancy. So I will pass it over to you, Steve, if you want to kick things off.
Sure. So multi-tenancy, in its essence, is just about sharing stuff. So if you go back far enough, multi-tenancy was people sharing a computer and being allocated some time to use a computer. And then as we've kind of evolved technology, multi-tenancy has changed to be about sharing resource. So, you know, we're paying for tin and we want to make sure that we're getting as much use from it as possible. We don't want CPUs to be sat idle and we don't want memory to be sat there empty. We want to try and get good utilization out of those things. So during the SaaS kind of revolution, it very much meant an architectural style where you have a single application and lots of different companies using the same instance of that application, because that way you could get lots of use out of your CPUs and your database and your memory and those kinds of things. But it's evolved over time. But at its essence, that's it. It's just about sharing stuff so that you're not paying for equipment that's not being used.
Yeah, and it's interesting because ultimately, when it's all said and done, there's really three different ways that you can actually share those resources that I've come across for a multi-tenanted application. There is the very classic one that I've seen, which is every customer signs into the same instance and every customer is in the same database. And this leads to a great deal of complexity in your code base, because now pretty much every single query that you have is basically where customer ID equals 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so you kind of run into some additional problems within the code base and managing all of that. The other option is having the same instance of the code, but having separate databases per customer. And I've seen that as well. Now, the complexity goes away where you don't have that where customer ID equals 1, 2, 3, 4, but you have to be really dialed in terms of how you're pulling the connection string for each individual customer to make sure that you're connecting to the right database. And then finally, it's the complete isolation where every customer gets a dedicated instance of the code and they get a dedicated instance of the database as well. Now, the complexity moves away from the code at that point in time. Now it's gone to the deployment itself, and how do you manage the deployments and how do you handle all of the different variations of this? And then you get some customers are on certain versions and everything like that. And so ultimately, I think the big question that you always have to ask yourself when you go with a multi-tenanted application is really, where do you want that complexity to reside when you want to share this type of resources?
Interesting. Yeah. So maybe we could even double click into some of those scenarios, Bob, that you talked about. Like what are some of the problems that problems maybe in inverted commas to it, like it I'm guessing it will vary depending on your requirements, as you say, but like what are some of the problems that people could bump into?
Yeah, so outside of the code complexity, which again, I believe it or not, I've actually worked on applications for that encompass all three, so I have a great deal of experience handling all the complexity with each of those. So for the when you share a common database and share an application, the biggest problem that I ran into was noisy neighbors. Honestly, it's when we have a certain, we have one customer, for example, they decide to run a really expensive, you know, report, for example, and they go in there and they say, I want to have 5 years worth of data. I want to have 10 years worth of data. And then it chunks it off to the database and the database does its due diligence and starts processing all that stuff. During that time, you then have all of your other customers are being impacted by that particular database query. So that's an example of a noisy neighbor. At the same time, the not just the database resources, but it's also the code resources, the CPU and the RAM resources are being consumed by that one particular customer, which impacts everybody else. So that noisy neighbor problem is actually quite prevalent when it's all said and done. Some of the other ones that I, one of the interesting ones that I ran into is not necessarily technical. It's also dealing with customers, and specifically many of them, they want to sign off on particular versions. And so when you're sharing common resources, when you share the same database or you share the same code, you have the same instance of your application. Well, every customer wants to be able to sign off before that goes out to production. And so that really slows down everything. Or you end up in really wild situations where the only good time for everyone to let you deploy is, say, 2 a.m. Saturday, because that's the slow time for everybody versus, hey, this is a slow time for this particular customer, so it makes a lot of sense. Or this is a slow time for this particular customer. So I've unfortunately been involved with those 2 a.m. Saturday deployments because of this. Or 6 a.m. Sunday deployments, which I'm not quite sure which one is worse. I would argue 6 a.m. is probably worse, because Saturday night, you typically, like when you're in 20s, you want to go out, you want to go to a bar or whatever, and then you have to wake up and it's a little dicey at times. So, but yes, I would say that's probably, those are kind of the common things that I've run across, is the noisy neighbor problem, and then having to deal with customer sign off and customer testing and everything like that.
Yeah, and those deployment windows get harder and harder the more successful you get, because you end up picking up more customers in different time zones. And then your deployment, there is no good deployment window if you have every time zone all using your same application instance. So that's a particularly tricky problem. With the noisy neighbors, I was working on an automotive website for car dealers, and we were across 22 different countries. And it wasn't even the customers were doing one expensive operation. What we would often have is that one dealer would do a massive budget ad campaign, and that one dealer would effectively take up all the resources for like 2 days whilst they're running this huge like campaign. Usually it's in the run up to new models coming out, and they're doing like a huge discount or something like that. And the traffic was so immense that those 2 days from one dealer were bigger than anything else. And the problem with solving that, because we were multi-tenanted, is that you can't collect necessarily the data you need to be able to tier your service or exercise fair usage limits. And so you end up using like a proxy metric. You start off by charging per user, but it's not the users of the application that are causing the load. It's actually like the customers visiting the website. And it's like, do you try and what metric do you use? And the metric we probably should have used was the number of vehicles they had in stock, because that was a really good indication, but it's still only a proxy. It's still not a guarantee that that's how much they're using. Whereas once you get to that fully isolated picture that Bob was talking about, you can now give everyone like a same-sized isolated piece of infrastructure with their app and database on. And if they do need to be a heavy user, you've got the opportunity to then say, okay, well, let's put you onto a larger instance, right? And if there's a cost implication to that, you can manage it, rather than having 99% of your customers subsidizing one really big customer that's chewing up all the resources, which is like the problem you get quite a lot, is you're effectively robbing the small customers to pay for the unprofitable big customer.
Yeah. The one thing I'd want to also add in there when it comes to the noisy neighbor bits as well is also considering the security implications. Because if everyone's sharing the same database, I cannot tell you the amount of auditing and compliance and proof and verification to guarantee that one customer can't see another customer's data. To give you a classical example, we imagine we were working on a SaaS application, and we had Coca-Cola and PepsiCo as our customers. You would have to go to the ends of the earth to prove to Coca-Cola that PepsiCo can't see their data, and vice versa. PepsiCo doesn't want Coca-Cola to see their data. And if you ever had that situation where the data leaked, oh my gosh, it would just be the end of the world. So it's such a massive compliance headache outside of not just the noisy neighbor part, but it's also having to deal with all of the other proof and verification and testing and auditing and everything else that goes in between.
Yeah, we're offboarding. Can you please delete our data? Well, now you have to do a very scalpel-based data deletion across your entire database.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't delete anyone else's data other than that one customer that's offboarding and making that request.
Or you have a really complex foreign key relationship and you have cascading deletes turned on, and that delete ends up just chonking through your entire database.
Is there a scenario where you could have an organization based upon their architecture or setup where they've went down a path where they should have used or utilized multi-tenancy and they didn't, and that then creates a problem for them?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think typically what I end up seeing is that you start going down the path of, well, we're probably going to have the same code base and the same database for customers. You're probably going to start out with that. And then what I've seen typically is then you kind of quickly realize that having every customer in the same database is a bit of a disaster. And so then you go, okay, well, also adding a where statement to every single database statement, that's awful as well. Who wants to deal with that? So then you start going into which in my opinion is the worst of all worlds, which is you have a shared code, you have the shared instance, but everyone gets a dedicated database. And you have all this additional complexity of how do I swap out the connection string? And that's typically the next stage where I typically see where a lot of people go. Because I should know, because I made that decision myself. And I'm not saying I'm the best developer in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but there was logical progressions of how we arrived at that particular thought. And then eventually we actually arrived at the thought of like, you know, this would actually be a lot easier if everyone got a dedicated copy of the code and everyone got a dedicated copy of the database. So it's almost like you almost go through like the five stages of grief or the three stages of multi-tenancy.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot where you start off with that single instance with everyone on it. And then you start evolving it. The common second pattern that I've seen is where you start doing regional instances. Because that way it's easier to do a maintenance window, and you can put that instance closer to the users maybe as well. So you go from like having a single instance to maybe having four instances, but then you get some particularly busy customers. And so then you create another instance in a region to handle the higher traffic customer. This is when it starts getting gnarly because you architected for a single instance and now you have all of the code complexity of managing tenants inside the application. Plus you're bringing in all of the infrastructure complexity now of managing multiple instances, you know, and you need to have tenanted deployments because you need to deploy enough times now that you need to make that a repeatable process, you know? And so actually definitely now in 2026, I think the starting point is that you architect for a single tenant. And you give everyone an instance. Like, we didn't have containers. We didn't have really easy ways of spinning up databases when we were creating this multi-tenant software architecture. We have all that stuff now. It's actually super easy. And so we don't have to compromise our software architecture. We can just tackle that complexity in our pipelines and on our infrastructure. And there's loads of cool tools to help us with that.
Yeah, and I would say that was kind of something that I saw as well is, oftentimes those limitations of what's possible within the hardware, that's what led to a lot of the bad software decisions. Because it may not just be the hardware limitations, it could also be the process limitations in and of itself. It's the, I remember 15, 16 years ago, talking to operations and asking for, hey, it would be great if we could get four new test servers. And it took 3 months. I mean, you can't have something like that. You can't be adding new customers. If you wanted to have an isolated instance and an isolated database and you're running everything on VMs, you can't wait 3 months for new VMs to come online. These weren't physical machines. They were virtual machines. It took that long to get through the backlog. And so, yeah, I definitely see where oftentimes the decisions made for your multi-tenanted application are often a result of the limitations that you had on the hosting requirements.
Yeah, I think we've kind of tiptoed a little bit into my next question around, I was going to ask, like, what is the solution? How do we get there? But I suppose we talked a little bit around the problems and the down. What other value will people see if they go down that path? If they've implemented multi-tenancy, what do they get out the other end?
Yeah, so I mean, as Steve has talked about quite a number of times, it's you get a dedicated, when you get a dedicated instance of the application and you get a dedicated database, is you can very much control the amount of resources that particular customer has. And it's not just about giving them an unlimited amount of resources, it's about constraining what they're allowed to do. So you give them here is your base resource and here's the maximum resource that you can go to. So it really allows you to kind of control that. And to your point, it also allows you to charge for more money, you know, as a customer, as they become bigger and they require more of those resources. But I think a few of the other benefits is also you can control when you release a particular version to a customer. And I think that's incredibly important because some customers, they want to spend a bit more time signing off on a particular version because maybe it's adding a new feature and they're going to be making heavy use of that feature and they want to add their 2 cents into it. Well, in the meantime, while they are testing that particular version or testing that particular feature, you could be rolling out the version to other customers who have already signed off on the feature. Like, yes, this is, makes sense. I'm happy with this. Or you can roll out a bug fix to a particular customer who's being impacted first, and then you can roll it out to everybody else. Because one of the challenges that I saw when you deploy, when you have a single customer on a single database and you have a single instance, oftentimes that database is massive. We're talking terabytes at this point. Any sort of deployment, like any sort of database script change, takes ages to complete. And pushing out the code, you have to do it at an appropriate time that's slow for everybody else. You can't just willy-nilly push something out there. But when you have isolated infrastructure, well, you have a much smaller database and you have an exact window as to when it's appropriate for that particular customer and only that particular customer to go, hey, it might be during your, not on hours, not your off hours, but you're being impacted by this bug. Can I push out this fix? And they'll go, yeah, absolutely. Push it out to them immediately, and then everyone else gets it maybe later that night or during their next off hours, during their next maintenance window. And so it provides a lot more flexibility. The other big advantage is you also get the benefit of controlling entitlements, and you can do that via feature flags. So you can turn on and off particular entitlements or particular features for a customer and say, this customer that get these features based on what they've purchased. They've purchased this package or this package. Whereas this other customer, they purchased other packages. And so you can turn on and off features much more easily within the code, and it's easier to audit those as well.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's also the same thing that you would need to power other things that are going to benefit you, like ephemeral environments. Because if it's super easy to spin up many instances of your application in your database, you can now create a test environment when you need one. So you no longer have to fight over who gets to use like the UAT environment. You can actually have two different versions out there being tested by two different groups of people, which is super cool. And if you are deploying lots of customer instances, every customer could have a staging environment that they check before it goes live. And so that pipeline sharing, where effectively you have the same code base, you have the same database model or the database schema, project that you have underneath it, and the same pipeline for deploying those changes, but then you can deploy it to thousands of tenants super easily. Some of them at different times. Maybe you've got like your alpha people who like to see changes super early, and then you've got your slightly more cautious people who want to be the last people to get your changes. You can handle all of that, and that's impossible if you have multi-tenancy in your software.
Yeah, I want to come back to the having the ephemeral environment or those test instances, because what's really curious about that concept is we actually apply that at Octopus Deploy today. So the way that we built Octopus Cloud, for example, every customer gets a dedicated copy of Octopus Deploy and they get a dedicated database. Now, why that's important is because I can't tell you the number of staff instances we have floating around. I want to say almost everyone at Octopus Deploy has a production instance of Octopus Cloud running right now. And what's cool about that is this also allows us to deploy to those staff instances first and find any sort of those like last minute bugs or any sort of sharp edges, or we can deploy to the staff instances, enable a feature toggle. So for example, Platform Hub, I had access to Platform Hub before, you know, the vast majority of the public, because I, you know, I wanted to test it. I wanted to find the sharp edges. I wanted to build out the content. I wanted to any number of those different things. And so I was able to offer the team tangible feedback on that particular feature. And I was using it in production, and I was using it for demos at, say, conferences and all these other things. Now, I don't think everyone's selling software like, you know, the way Octopus Deploy sells it, but the advantage is still clear is that you can give access to your like production access to your internal people. and they can start testing it out. They can try it out and they can find the sharp edges. They can offer feedback without having to worry about, well, this is just a test instance. This is just a pre-prod instance or a UAT instance. No, it's a legitimate production instance. They want it to be your instance and they want you to use it day to day, every day, all the time. And so it allows you to really kind of build that out and find, again, ultimately release features that have, I would argue, more functionality and a lot of the sharp edges smoothed out.
Yeah, we drink our own champagne on all of this.
Indeed. Thank you both very much. Steve, have you got a question to wrap us up this week?
No, I actually don't have one. Bob, do you have an interesting angle that fits into multi-tenancy?
What would be the worst deployment process that you've seen when it comes to multi-tenancy? And the different way, like we talked about the different ways. So what's an example of a terrible process that you saw or that you created that you wish you could go back and undo?
That's actually a brilliant question. I worked on a web application where each customer had an IIS site on a great big IIS box. And the way it was deployed was that you copied the application into a folder called release. And then you ran a script that did effectively a robocopy to all of the different folders in IIS. And the instructions were super clear. Copy the files into the release folder, delete the web config file, because each customer's got their own web config file, then run the script. And of course, what would happen at least twice a year was someone would forget to delete the web config file. And so everyone's customized configuration was overwritten as part of that copy process. And funnily enough, that was an organization that came and bought Octopus Deploy to solve the problem with variables. So that was kind of funny because that was how we were doing it. That was the pain that we were getting, which made us kind of go out and look for a tool that could actually do it reliably. And that also enabled us to move away from that architecture, that kind of individual sites on IIS to a much better architecture.
Mine was, sadly, it was when you don't know what you're doing and you misuse a tool like Octopus Deploy. So I was working on an application where everyone shared the same instance, but everyone got a dedicated database. Funnily enough, we had just made the decision where we were going to move away from everyone gets a dedicated copy of the database because everyone was running on their own. Basically, everyone was running on their own virtual machine. So the database and both the code running on that virtual machine is like a Postgres database or something. And they're running into all kinds of deployment issues when it came to the code because they would have to sign on to every single virtual machine, deploy it. They go, this is just too hard. It's taking up too much time. We can't do this. So we're going to make this decision where we're going to collapse everyone into the same code under the same instance, and we're going to have different databases because of that particular reason. And so I came on board and I said, okay, well, let's solve for this. Let's solve for that deployment. And I had previously done a similar deployment, but we only had about 3-4 databases that we had to update. And so it was fairly quick. Update the databases, deploy the code, happy days. This had something in the neighborhood of 100 databases because I had over 100 customers. And the deployment took so long to update all the databases because you'd have to run the migration script for every single database and you're looping through. And so then I start tricking my PowerShell code that I'm running from Octopus Deploy to then spin up additional threads to deploy each of the databases. And so I'm like, okay, what is the maximum amount I can do without crashing everything? Like, okay, I think I landed on, say, like 7. And so it was just like one bad decision after another, because it was like the first time I ran a deployment for all of our customers, I think it took something in the neighborhood of like 5 hours to complete. And I'm like, that's not acceptable. We got to speed this up. And we got it down to about 30 minutes, which people were really happy about. But I'm like, this is held together with baling twine and duct tape. This was the worst idea I've ever had. And so, yes, we were using Octopus, but we were doing it in a really stupid way. And again, I chalk that up to something I wish I could go back and change. Because if I could go back and change it, I would have done it a billion different ways. Let's just say that.
I don't have a specific story, but I do have this strange fascination now that once you, like, anytime you go into the supermarket and see like a kiosk, you're like, I wonder how they're deploying to those. Or you go through an airport and you're like, I wonder how they're updating software on those. And it kind of, your brain starts to think about, what's, you know, are they using a multi-tenancy approach kind of thing? So it's interesting. Once you start to look at things that way, you kind of realize all of these use cases are surrounding you every day. Software runs everywhere. So
sadly, I'm willing to bet for many folk, especially for those kiosks, is I'm going to guess it's a sneakernet deployment where they take a thumb drive and they physically walk to the machine and insert it, and it just triggers a script to run and it does the thing. You would be surprised even today that the what I've seen.
And that's why you get this checkout is out of service on half of the machines, because that's how far they got before they realized that they'd tanked them.
Don't touch any others. Yeah. Okay, super. Thanks everybody for joining today. Hope you learned something interesting and useful about multi-tenancy. I certainly have. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, you can like and subscribe on YouTube, or find your audio version of the podcast on your platform of choice. If you just search for Continuous Delivery Officers, you will find it there. I will also mention we do have a multi-tenancy white paper. You can find it over at octopus.com/publications. We will put the link in the description. There's a bunch of other reports and books and things there as well. They're all free to download. And yeah, happy deployments. See you in the next episode. Cheerio, everybody. Thank you.